listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada.
So I was pretty excited about coming up here. As Louis said, we live now, or did Louis say, or is it just my mind? Yeah. Okay, so we live, since we've moved so much lately, it's crazy, out of L.A. not long ago, which was an awesome deliverance on an incredibly epic scriptural scale. So we're out of L.A. and went to about the most different world ever. So we live in a camp right outside of Yosemite Valley, inside the National Forest. It's an amazing Christian camp. It was awesome. And when we left Friday to come up, a storm had just moved in there. So I was kind of hoping that we would have a storm the whole time. Thought that'd be exciting. But as we drove up, it died down a little. Now this morning coming in, I was just talking to Rod too, raining out a little bit, right? And there's supposedly another storm coming in. So that's kind of perfect. I'm going to talk about storms today. I was wondering, God, could you arrange it so it's like special effects and in the middle of the message, all the power goes out? That would be the best. But I don't know if that's ever really happened. Yeah. Okay. Have you ever, though, in your own life been in a massive storm like that? Like I said earlier, I'm from Minnesota. I grew up in the Midwest. And I really do miss those kind of thunderstorms. You know, back there, I remember being asleep, you know, and all of a sudden the house shakes because the thunder is so close and the windows rattle, right? I just love those. I really do love those kind of storms. When the rain's coming down so hard and you're thinking we're going to have to boat out of here in the morning. So I've never been in that extreme of one, but there was a time when I was a high schooler in Minnesota. I think it was like summer of 82 or something. The tornado warning siren went off in my town that I lived in. So our family, we all run downstairs into the basement. The rain's coming down. Power goes off, but we have a little battery radio to listen to stuff. And a tornado didn't hit us, but the winds got up so high, over 100 mile an hour winds there in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. And yeah, there's kids at school for like the next week. Some smart entrepreneurial kid was selling T-shirts. I survived the storm of 82. They're trying to make money off other kids. And I remember watching the news. This was sad. The winds, and there actually were a few funnel clouds or tornadoes that hit, that touched down for a while. And so this is the first time I noticed this on the news. It showed all the devastation. And why does it seem like that always went for like a mobile home park? Like, does God have something especially against mobile homes? I didn't get it. It was just so sad. You know, it showed a neighborhood, and those buildings were still kind of okay, but then the trailer park next to it had just been thrashed. So I remember another storm that I was in because my family, we were missionaries when I was a little kid, to Hong Kong. So when I lived there, we experienced monsoons. I can't remember a typhoon or monsoon. The only difference is where it is, right? Well, I just remember they were categories, 1 through 5, I think. And it got worse the higher the number was. So I lived in Hong Kong, this incredibly crowded city full of high-rises. We lived on the 3rd floor of an apartment building. That's all there were there when I lived there, was apartment buildings. And a typhoon or a monsoon came through, and it was category 4. And our building was shaking, and I looked out the window, and I saw rain like falling like sideways because the winds were so high. It was intense. And I thought about that time and the time back in the Midwest. And what can you do when you're in a storm? I mean, all you do is really like hunker down, right? You just ride it out. There's nothing you can really do. You just kind of have to get through it. Years later, I took my family. We went with a youth group on a missions trip to the country of Albania. Just a funny little weird country that's over by, across the water from Italy. It's actually on top of Greece. It's an old little communist country. And we went to minister with a church there that did a summer camp for high school kids. They took them to the beach and did a camp. So we were there. It was great. It was like Mediterranean setting, just beautiful beach. The water was so still. And one afternoon, our Albanian pastor, a guy named Piro, comes running up. And he says, hey, we got to go back to the camp. Because he pointed out in the sky, and this beautiful clear sky, but in this one section was a pretty dark, ominous cloud. And he knew how unusual that was. So we started walking back to our campgrounds. And by the time we got there, that cloud had rolled in. It started to rain lightly. But we got in our little camping tents. And then the storm really hit. It was blowing all the other youth group kids in the other tents. Especially, I remember the girls, Chamui! Chamui! because the wind was blowing so hard, the tent would have blown away. So we're all just sitting down in the middle of the tents to try to anchor it down as the thing, you know, whips around us like that. Storms are really fun in a way, but then they get intense and then they get scary. And what I'm trying to drive at for this first thing to say is, what can you do about it? You just kind of get through it, right? Now, let me switch gears a little bit. I've been through other storms in my life that are not the physical stuff. So when I was a kid, as we were missionaries, my mom got cancer. She had to come back to the States for treatment, and it didn't work too well, so eventually our whole family went back to the States, and in a year, then by the time I was 12, she died. And that time of my life was the first one that I remember being like this really intense kind of storm. And I'll tell you, even though it wasn't a physical thing, it felt the same way. My whole world was unstable, right? I couldn't make sense of anything, or I certainly couldn't solve it. And what I had to do as I went through that time, I just feel like I kind of hunkered down to try to, ride it out. That was an intense time. I've had other times like that in my life when some of you know my story of Lucinda and I and our family. When our daughters were born, our first daughters, we have three. My oldest two daughters are born and they're deaf. And there wasn't an illness or family heredity lines that we knew of that led to that. So when we find out our girls are deaf, it was like a storm in our life. We had just moved to be youth pastors in a little town of Winters, and God, in his wisdom, put us in this church that helped us, like, hunker down. And that's where we discovered, and our second daughter was born there, and nobody prepares for that kind of a life to all of a sudden have kids with these special needs. And so everything was so unstable, just trying to ride it out. Actually, there was another storm that hit me during that time, too. I was working a couple jobs to try to make ends meet, and one of my jobs was working with developmentally disabled adults, and our contract was through the state, and then all of a sudden the funding for that job got cut. So from one day to the next, I was working the same job in the same hours for a third less pay. And it wasn't like I was in a big career job anyways, money-wise. So in fact, when they told me that news, I don't know if I ever told my wife this, but when they told me that news, I had like 10 bucks in my pocket for some reason. I'm like, well, might as well spend it all. Not getting any more ever. I drove off to a Chevy's restaurant in Dixon, you know, because they had free chips and salsa mostly. And I remember I sat there with like the cheap burrito, but just grubbing on the chips. And I literally felt almost physically like dizzy. Like it felt like I was going to fall off my stool because I was just so overwhelmed thinking, what am I going to do? It was a storm that hit. So here's the thing. In all of our lives, if we had the time to go around and talk to everybody individually, you have incredible storm stories. There's not a human in here that your life has just been, it's been all roses and smooth. You, like me, in our lives with things going on, you have gone through, whether it's family issues or physical issues or illness things or economic stuff, we all really get shaken because we go through these times. So what I want to talk about today and draw your attention to, since the theme has been talking about really the primacy and of Jesus, we're going to look at Jesus in a storm situation. And some of you will know this story and be very familiar with it, but I hope there's some things that I can pull out that are new and unique. So we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 8. If you have your Bible, if you want to turn there, or we'll also put the words up on the screen here in a moment. Luke chapter 8, verse 22 to 25. In the Bible, in the story that God reveals who he is to us, you know, as we get to the New Testament, the first four books in the New Testament, we call them the Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not four different stories of Jesus. It's all the same story. It's just told from different vantage points. It'd be like if you go down to the corner there of McCarran and Sutro and four of us are standing on different corners and a car accident happens, and then each person writes out their report. Okay? If you gather those four together, it's probably going to be almost word for word, except maybe somebody saw a little bit of a different detail. or maybe the one witness remembered a tiny bit more. This is what our Gospels are. It's really cool. So sometimes when you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they match up word for word, except in one of the stories a guy remembers or adds a tiny bit more. So we're looking at the account in Luke, but this story is also found in Matthew chapter 8 and in Mark chapter 4. In these three places, the exact same story is told. Tiny bit of a difference. Like in the Mark passage, it mentions when Jesus rests. It says in that one, he put his head on a pillow. So it's kind of cool. Through all these accounts, we get this really good, well-rounded one. And as I said, you're probably familiar with the story, but let's read through it. Let me read it. It says, one day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, let us go across to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat, and they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall or a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling up with water and were in danger. And they went and they woke him up saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. So Jesus awoke and he rebuked the wind and the raging waves and they ceased and there was a calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and they marveled, saying to one another, who then is this that he commands even the wind and the waters and they obey him? So a simple account, kind of. You've probably heard it a lot. It's powerful and very interesting about the storm deal. Now, I've never been, maybe some of you have been over to Israel and been able to visit all these places and see those biblical areas. That's a pretty awesome thing. I have not done it, but as I studied through and found out, you know, the Sea of Galilee, that so much of the story of Jesus occurs around here, it's about 8 miles by 13 miles. So big piece of water, really big. 8 by 13, and on the sides of it, it's ringed by mountains. But with these mountains, there's a lot of passes and like canyons. So all this, what this leads to is, here you've got an area of water that the wind can come through those canyons and come onto the water and make squalls. Reminds me of that little toy. Have you ever seen those air bazooka toys? They're like these blue round things and you pull it back and shoot and it shoots a charge of air out. Now, if you don't remember anything else from today, go get one of those toys. It's really cool. So in a natural way, this is what's going on in Galilee. It could be totally calm, and then on the other side of the mountains, if there's some winds blowing, it'll get funneled through these channels and can hit onto the water, and like, bam, a huge thing can get stirred up. So this is why, even though Jesus is with our guys here that grew up around this water and have been fishing it their whole lives, I mean, they know this place, right? But even in that scenario, storms can come up that they don't expect that are really going to hit on them. So in our story, we have them going across. It seems to be calm. Everything's great. In fact, Jesus even falls asleep. And then it hits so hard. So now they're in a storm, just like we've been in physical storms or even the emotional ones in our lives. It hits so hard. And what's going to go on? I want to draw your attention to three things out of this story. And again, forgive me if it's like, oh man, we've heard this so many times. A lot of us in church would do that. But there's some elements of this that really, really came upon me that I just, Lord, this is intense stuff. So it might seem simple, but think it through with me. The first thing I want to tell you is we see in this story, and you got to get this settled, you and I as believers. First thing, storms will come in our lives. Okay? I don't know what it is. As Christians, sometimes we think when we come into relationship with Jesus, now it's going to be smooth sailing, to use the same term, right? We just think, oh, now I'm with the Lord. It's going to be, you know, the Bible never lays it out that way. God never says that our life here, even when we're in relationship with him, doesn't have any turbulence. That's a wrong way of thinking about who Jesus is and what our life as a Christian is supposed to be. But unless we get that settled, you can have some pretty disappointed times in your spiritual life. I know believers that the first time they hit trouble, they back out of their relationship with God because they can't figure it out. I'm with the Lord now. Everything's supposed to be simple and easy. And then a storm hits and like, what's going on? It's a good example from this story because I want to draw your attention to this. Jesus told these guys to get in the boat and go to the other side. Okay, so getting away from kind of some Christian-y thinking that gets a little weird sometime. They were not out of the will of God. Okay, that's huge to realize. Jesus directed them very clearly. So when the storm hits, it's not like you got a bunch of disobedient people and that's why they're in the storm. No, no, no. Man, they are following Jesus' word, exactly what he tells them. You can't get a clear example of somebody in the will of God, right? So here are the disciples. They're doing exactly what Jesus tells them, and a storm hits anyways. What is that? Right? Isn't this stuff we deal with? How could that have happened? They're doing what Jesus said. Why does a storm hit? I see in this story there are three reasons we can connect in our lives to why storms hit, right, for us. So, and again, some of these might seem appropriate to you and you've gone through it already. I'm going to say this. If you haven't, you probably will in life. There's three reasons storms hit us. One reason, this is the one to kind of smile about and just all of us shake our heads, yeah. One reason storms hit is because we stir things up. Okay, that is a reason, that's true, why you and I will go through a storm in life. Like the classic thing, think of a family gathering like at holidays and somebody goes in the kitchen and talks to somebody else and they're upset and they stir things up and then it spills out into the next room and, you know, before you know it, if someone was looking in the window, it's like, there's a storm going on. Okay, we know this. Be honest. Sometimes we stir up stuff in life. I would say in this story, if they were not doing what God had told them to do, or think of the old story of Jonah, who God really clearly said, you know, get in your travel and head this way. So our guy Jonah, I mean, exactly opposite. He goes exactly the other way. He was stirring stuff up that instead of following after God, he also finds himself in a storm too, right? You and I, there are times when a storm hits and it's because of our actions. That's really true. There's also times, though, when storms hit in life, and it's because we live in a broken, messed up world. So this could be the case, and all, because we only get to come and visit every once in a while, I guess it's just you got to jump in the deep end really fast. So I'm asking that you would give grace, and I'm not trying to be glib about stuff. Illnesses and sicknesses, right? And again, this is a good corrector to our theology in here. We will go through that stuff many times. And why is that? It's because we live in a broken world. There is death and disease that we live with. And much of it is because this world is broken. And that's the amazing thing that Jesus says at the end of time, he will correct all that. And there will be no more tears and there will be no more death and disease. But until that point, you could have someone that's following after Jesus as committed as can be, and an illness, a sickness, it's because we live in this broken world. That's a big thing. In fact, I want to go quick and look at John chapter 16, verse 33, just to remind you what Jesus said. He said, I have told you these things, that in me you may have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. How do we miss that Jesus just bluntly says, hey, by the way, you're going to have trouble? So again, it's not that it's so easy and simple that we can get through it without it. Or in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we've got a Christ follower named Paul, kind of pretty high up on the list when I think of a guy doing what God wants him to. And he starts to say, rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, riots, right? In hard work, sleepless nights, hunger. Here's an all-star, we would say, for God going through this. Why does some of this stuff come up? It's not all stuff that he personally stirred up. A lot of our storm in life is because our world is broken, and we still live with that. Now, the third thing, there is elements of storms in life, we would say, are from the enemy of our soul. And there are demonic things that are storms in life. In fact, in this story of Jesus crossing Galilee in the storm, in the Matthew account, that one account, he's the only guy, not the other two, but he writes, when he says the word for the storm, he uses a word in Greek, seismos, that we even get like seismic activity from. But it wasn't the normal word for storm. Scholars think that he is saying, hey, was this a satanic, like a demonic thing? Now, the other ones didn't say that, but it shows this is very true for us in our life with God. There are times when it's an attack of the enemy, what we're going through. But one of the first things about this message and thinking through storms in our life is we've got to approach with discernment what's going on. It's not all stuff of the enemy, right? Some of the stuff is the fact that we live in a broken world. People will lose jobs. There are diseases in this world. This is, storms come up because of brokenness. Not all of it is stuff you stir up, but we better be smart enough to see when some of it is, right? If you're constantly going through interpersonal relationship storms, right? And then at some point you say, maybe I should stop stirring this up. I mean, it's all of these things. But the point is, storms do happen in our life. If you think that a life with Jesus means no difficulty, it's really not what Scripture says. And it doesn't match up to this account. Storms will happen. Now, the second thing about this passage that all of you automatically see, and it's a cool thing to realize, the second thing is Jesus calms the storms, right? So we see in our account, yeah, it's awesome. The storm comes up, and so in my personal life, whatever that reason would be, the storm is there, though. Now we see Jesus is powerful and able to calm that storm. Here's the cool thing about looking at accounts of Jesus doing his amazing stuff. I don't know how that happens. You know what I mean? We call it a miracle or supernatural for a reason. It doesn't quite make sense. In fact, this is cool. In the gospel accounts of Jesus, this is the first like nature miracle. And there are some scholars that, as they study the Word of God, they start to explain away like every other one. I'm not kidding. There's a whole set of, a couple of centuries ago, what we would call some liberal theologians out of a German school that, these German guys, they were all just so wanting to not make Christianity like a fable. They thought it was a good thing. They tried to explain away and figure out every miracle. So when Jesus healed somebody, I'm not exaggerating, they said, well, it's because as a boy, he was down in Egypt, so he must have learned some better medicine. And so that's why. Now, the problem, though, is when they get to these nature miracles, there's no way to rationalize it. There's no way. Either this is a God thing that defies explanation and it's a miracle, or it's just a lie. So here's how it works with storms in our life. Jesus can calm the storm. I can't really talk you through how he does that. It is the power of God, and it's a miracle. If you have someone and there's an illness and they get healed from it, and you get doctors that say, there's no talking it through. In LA, we had a couple, and their first child was born, and so much difficulty in the physical things, and really the doctors told her, you'll never have another child. And God put it on Lucinda's heart one day. She lays hands on the lady, and they pray. Like the next month later, she's pregnant. How in the world? It's because God can calm the storms. In my family, I had a stepmom that divorced my dad, and just a hard situation. Some other things came into play in our family dynamics, just awful. And so I was really hands, you know, out, didn't want anything to do with my previous stepmom. Years, 6-7 years go by, I think, where I haven't seen her, and I'm going back now to a wedding that she's going to be at. And I would like to think as someone that's following Jesus, I try to live in a life of forgiveness. And we do. And I'll tell you, it's not a one-time thing, right? 6-7 years later, I'm booking my plane flights to go back to Minnesota. And I'm realizing she's going to be there. And all these issues are up again. And I'm like saying, and this is the right thing, Lord, I forgive her. I don't want to hold anything against her. It doesn't mean I like her. Doesn't mean I trust her again. It doesn't mean I want to be with her and, you know, see her again. But Lord, I do want to forgive her. I don't want anything ill about that. But still, I was in huge turmoil heading back to that. So I started praying, Lord, I don't know how you can make this work. It was a storm that I was headed into. It really was. I prayed. I go back there, and it was a miracle thing. My interactions with her were fine. It didn't keep me up at night. I feel like I responded in love the way I should. And I came through that weekend and I flew back home. And I was just thinking about it and shake my head. How in the world did that happen? Jesus can calm the storm. A miracle is a miracle. That's an awesome thing. Now, here's a problem. We always think that we know how the calming the storm should work. We always think we know when a miracle should happen and how, as if somehow we get to call the shots on that. So we think every time there's a storm, well, no, we should just say something and Jesus in the next minute should do exactly this. It's not how miracles work. It's certainly not how our storms work, right? Now, I will say this. Sometimes God does that. Sometimes we'll give an example of a physical. Well, I told you guys, my mom died of cancer when I was 12. She had lung cancer, had never smoked a cigarette a day in her life, right? Died of lung cancer. I believe and I know God heals people. And there's been times where I've prayed and I've seen God do miraculous stuff. Well, why didn't it happen then? I don't know. What I do know, because I've seen it elsewhere, is Jesus can calm storms, and he does, right? Now, actually, let me get into the last point of this, because here's the thing that really has been resonating with me for a while. In this story, the point of this story is actually not that Jesus calms a storm. The whole progression of this account, that is not the high point. It actually leads to the next thing. What happens is after the storm is calmed and they're amazed and Jesus looks at them and says, where's your faith? Listen, this is what I want to tell you. And this just, I'll try to express this well. Please, I don't mean to sound so glib like I said about this. Now, look at me for real. I just really want you to get this. Do we really think, okay, here we read in the Bible. Can you imagine if this was the end of the story? Jesus, born of a virgin, he's God, he starts to do all this stuff, and then a boat, oh, and it sinks. And that's the end of the Jesus story. How dumb is that? And you and I mean, we have the benefit of looking back, I guess. You think, how stupid. It's really going to end with the boat going down. Of course it's not. And for them, they had already seen Jesus do amazing things. And you got to love them. They're just like us, the disciples. Even by the end, even after Jesus dies and raises again, they're still saying dumb things. They still don't get it. So it's the same as us with our storms, right? Do you really think now in your own storm or mine that that's the end of the story? It's like, okay, here's everything I know about God. Amazing. But I just lost my job and I guess he can't handle that one. We're going down. What a crazy thought. The pinnacle of this account, this is actually deep theological stuff. This is Christology. Like, who really is Jesus? And is he in the boat with me? And who do I know God to be? And what does that mean about my entire life? Will one storm hit me that really takes me completely out and God doesn't have it? Is that really what the story comes up to? So this is the point of this account. For you and I to all of a sudden open our eyes and say, who is Jesus? And this account tells us the big thing for us to know is that we are safe and secure with Jesus. You are not going down in that boat. How is that possible? Our life is with the Lord. If the storm hits and Jesus does not do a miracle the way you or I think it should happen, does that still mean you sink and that's like, and now we're with God eternally, you're like, God, what happened? Oh, I don't know. I just missed that one. Of course not. And we know that in our head, but somehow we don't live it out. So that's why, as I was saying earlier, I'm not trying to be glib, because think of your most intense storm in your life, and that's a big deal. And maybe you are in that storm right now. And what I want to encourage you about, and what you've been studying even by going through Colossians, is Jesus is enough. Who really is Jesus? Our God is in the boat with you. Or I should say, you're in the boat with God. You are not going down. Now, what if the answer doesn't come the way you think? And I'll use an extreme example too. What if a physical something does even lead to death? You're not going down. Your life is tied up with God eternally, right? It's a huge thing. We're called to trust, and Jesus is kind of saying to you, really? don't you know me better? That I love you so much and I have you? And no matter how this life unfolds, whether the storm hits here and I take care of it at that level, whether it's ongoing and I do a different answer for you, don't we realize that we're safe and secure with Jesus and we really trust him? Man, this hits to my heart. It's huge. Makes me look back and think of my mom that died. And for so long in that storm, I just thought, where's God? Now years have gone past and I look back and think of my mom with this rough life that she had. But as a child at 13 at Old Oak Ranch, she gets baptized with the Holy Spirit and God gives her a vision of ministering to Chinese people. And God made that happen. She was able to get into that position. Even before her time was done, God made that happen. That's amazing. It's amazing. So the storm I saw is not the whole picture, right? You might have gone through some amazingly huge storm. And I know we have. I know you have. Things of our family, things of economy, things of sickness, death. And the answer is not that God missed it. You are safe. You're not going down. And one day as we're eternally with the Lord, we'll be able to see probably some of those answers. But for now, we couldn't figure out if we wanted to, right? But we see a story like this, and our loving God just kind of reminds us, like, hey, I got this. Like, but Jesus, it's not going the way I thought it should. He says, but I've got this. I'm with you. You're not going to sink. Sorry, I get emotional when I think of that, just because I know some of your stories a little bit. And it's intense stuff. Storms are intense. And for you to know, no matter what happens, you are secure with Jesus and you're not sinking. That's a huge way for us to live. And I love Jesus. Do you think he kind of had that smile on his face when he told the disciples, hey, where is your faith? You know, or because they knew how much he loved them. They had seen his power already. Or I think, was it even kind of quizzical? The God of the universe kind of like, what are you thinking? All that applies to us. And however we process things through, if you're very intellectual, if you're very emotional, we're all a combination of all of that. No matter what it is, here's Jesus, your loving God, telling you it's okay because you're with me. I can't figure it out. God, why aren't you doing that miracle right now? I don't know. When you do a miracle, how'd you do it? I don't know. But we're not going down. We're in the boat with Jesus. Can I ask you to close your eyes for just a moment? And I'd like to pray in a couple of different ways, actually. So hope I haven't talked too long. Don't fall asleep with your eyes closed. A couple different ways, and then I ask you to respond to stuff. The first thing I'm going to ask is maybe, you know, in church it's good. Sometimes we listen to messages, we don't necessarily respond. Sometimes it's good to respond. You put into action kind of some of your ideas or your faith all of a sudden. I am going to ask, with your eyes closed, for some of us to respond to this, a reorienting of your life. Maybe you're in the middle of a big storm right now. Maybe you've kind of had the wrong thoughts that when I'm with Jesus, everything will be smooth and easy. However, I can ask right now, if this kind of lodged with you and you want to, with me, say, Jesus, I trust you in my circumstances, in the middle of this storm, not thinking things have to be easy all the time, but just once more saying, Jesus, I trust you. I want to say you're in charge, not me. You've got your plan. I don't quite get it, but that's okay. I trust you. I'm going to ask, just with nobody looking around, if you just respond to that, maybe raise your hand. I want to agree with you. This can hit deep into our hearts. Lord God, you are amazing and you love us and we know that we're not going down when our lives are tied up in you. But we don't, sometimes in our day-to-day life, we lose track of that. So Lord, right now we reaffirm, we say, Lord, we trust you. We know our life is wrapped up in you. We know that you're not going to forget and just let us go down. So God, we reaffirm that this morning. Lord, help our thinking get lined up more to people that trust you, that even when we don't get it, we turn to you and say, God, help, and realize that you do. And we trust you, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Now, this morning, if you put your hands down this morning, there could be some of us that you've never even gotten in the boat with Jesus in the first place. And this is what it means to be one of God's children and tied into his family. To understand that Jesus, the Son of God, came and died in our place so that we could have life eternally with him. To say, God, I cannot make this journey on my own. I have no hope of that. Lord, I'm messed up just like everyone's messed up. But I believe, Jesus, I'm giving my life to you. I'm getting in with you. So perhaps for you, you've never done that even in the start. Not talking about how much you've gone to church or where you grew up. This is you starting your own personal relationship with Jesus. So if that's the case, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and I'll pray together with you on that. It's awesome. All right, anyone else? Lord God, I agree in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for these that are giving their life to you, saying that they know that they can't do it on their own. They know, Lord, in their own sinful life, God, that there needs to be some way to be reconciled to you. So I agree with them as they give their life to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins and all of us, Lord God, that are in the boat with you. Thank you, Lord. You love us so much. You're so patient with us. We thank you for this journey with you eternally. God, we love you and praise you. Thank you so much, Lord, that you are with us, God. Help us know what that means. Help our faith to be at that level where we say, Jesus, we trust you. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us at web@hillside4.org.